Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves at the top of Daf Yud Dalid Amud Aleph. That's 14a, and we're about 8 lines down, the second word on the line. We have been now already for about 2 Dafim or so, going through the Megillah verse by verse and giving drashot about it. So we are now at the section where Haman has asked to kill all the Jews, and Ahasuerus has agreed. So the next verse that we deal with is Vayasar Hamelech et Habato. The king took off his ring, his signet ring, and he gave it to Haman, telling him that he could do whatever he wanted to. And Haman used that ring to write letters saying that everyone would be able to go kill the Jews on one particular day. So this moment when Ahasuerus gives Haman the king is when the ring is when he gives him the power to kill the Jews. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Gedola hasarat tabat yoter me'arba'im u'shmone nevi'im v'sheva nevi'ot. The giving of this ring was greater or did more than 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses. Shenit nabulahen l'Yisrael, all of these prophets and prophetesses prophesied to the children of Israel. Shakulan lo hechsirum lamutav, and none of them were able to make the people do tshuva and return to the good path. Ve'ilu hasarat tabat, but the removal of this ring and the specter of death from Haman, hechziratan lamutav, that did bring him back to the good path. He's making a wry observation that sometimes an actual threat from an anti-Semite like Haman packs more punch than all of the Jeremiads of the world and all the prophets who are telling us that if we don't do better, that we are doomed. Now, since we started talking about the 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses, we make a digression to discuss all of those prophets. Now we are about 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 13 or 14 lines down. Tanu Rabbanan. The rabbis taught, Arba'im u'shmona nevi'im, there were 48 prophets, v'sheva nevi'ot, and 7 prophetesses, nitnabu lahen l'Yisrael, that prophesied for Israel, lo pachatu v'lo hotiru, they were not less and they were not more. V'lo pichatu v'lo hotiru, they did not take away, nor did they add, al mashakatu b'Torah, on anything written in the Torah. As we discussed earlier, the prophets do not have the ability to add to the Torah. However, chutz mimikra Megillah, the only exception is the reading of the Megillah. The one thing that they added into the Torah was the reading of the Megillah. And it's funny, I mean, it's not really added into the Torah, but it is a book that's added into Tanakh. But what do they mean specifically that this was something that was added to the Torah? Rashi, by the way, asks, as many of the Rishonim do, what about Nerot Chanukah? And Rashi argues that since the holiday of Chanukah happened after prophecy ceased, it could not have been something that the prophets added in. It was something that the Chachamim added as a practice, but it wasn't something that was added by the prophets, and that something added by the prophets has a higher quality in some way. Since they're prophets, they're not just wise men, that it seems somehow like they're adding more to the Torah. Okay, my darush, what is the drasha? How do we know that this is the one thing that they added to the Torah? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says, Kal v'chomer, this is a logical deduction from light to heavy. Uma me'avdut l'cheirut amrinan shira, just as from servitude to freedom, they said shira. So when the Jewish people came out of Egypt, they didn't go from life to death. They went from being slave to being free. They sang a song of Hallel. According to many Rishonim, this is referring here to Az Yashir. Mimita l'chaim lo kol shekein. When they go from death to life, shouldn't they all the more so sing a special song of thanksgiving? He doesn't mean sing halal here. He means shouldn't they also sing a song of thanksgiving, just like Az Yashir? So ihachi, if this is the case, that you're going to make this argument that since Purim is from death to life and not just from
from slavery to freedom, that they should for sure sing Hallel. Hallel Nami, they should sing Hallel. We should say Hallel on Purim. So Nema, oh, Hallel Nami Nema. Let them also let us also say Hallel. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, that's added in by the Hagos HaBach, in that little bet there. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lefi She'ein Omrim Hallel Aneisha B'chutz La'aretz. Because we do not say Hallel on a miracle that happened outside the land of Israel. Now, the Gemara here is going to give three explanations for why we might not say Hallel on Purim, which we don't say Hallel on Purim. And two of the explanations are going to be based on the principle that we really should say Hallel, but there are external reasons that we cannot. And one of them is going to say that we do say Hallel, but the Megillah is the Hallel. So the first answer is that we don't say Hallel on a miracle that happened outside the land of Israel. And since the miracle of Purim happened in Shushan, in Iraq, it is not eligible for Hallel. But the Gemara asks, Yetziat Mitzrayim Dinei Shebechutz La'aretz, so what about the Exodus from Egypt? That's what we were comparing it to. That happened in Egypt. That's also outside the land of Israel. How can we sing a Hallel or a Shira at that time for that miracle? Kiditanya, as we learn in a Braita, Ad shelo nichnesu Yisrael la'aretz, until the Jewish people entered into the land of Israel, huchshiru kol aratzot lomar Shira. All of the lands were susceptible or eligible for singing praise in them. Misha nichnesu Yisrael la'aretz, from the time that the Jewish people entered into the land of Israel, lo huchshuru kol ha'aretzot lomar shira. None of the other lands were permitted or eligible for singing shira. So Yetziat Mitzrayim, they could sing Hallel or sing shira because they had not yet entered the land of Israel. But by the time they entered the land of Israel under Yoshua, any holiday that happens afterwards, including Purim, no longer would be eligible unless it happened in the land of Israel. That's answer number one. Answer number two is this. Rav Nachman Amar, we're three lines up in the narrow lines. Rav Nachman Amar, Kriyatazu Helila. The Hallel is the reading of the Megillah itself. It tells the story of how the Jews were saved and the thanksgiving that they did, and therefore it itself is the Hallel. By reading the Megillah, is as if we sang a Shira. Rava Amar, Bishlama, this is the third answer. Rava Amar, Bishlama Hatam, there it makes sense, meaning when we came out of Mitzrayim, to sing Hallel or to sing Shira, because it says, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, that they should sing out, praise out, sing Hallelujah, the servants of Hashem. Velo avdei paro, because they were no longer the servants of Paro, they were only the servants of Hashem. Elahacha, but here in the story of Purim, Hallelu avdei Hashem, velo avdei achashverosh, they would have to sing praise that are sing out praises, the servants of God, who are no longer servants of achashverosh. But akate avdei achashverosh anan. We were still the servants of Ahasuerus, even though we managed to survive and not to be killed by Haman's nefarious plans. And Haman was killed. At the end of the day, Ahasuerus was still our king. We didn't even go from slavery to freedom. Ahasuerus was the king at the beginning, and he was the king at the end. And so therefore, we cannot say Hallel, because we are still the servants of Ahasuerus. Now, according to two of those, we should say Hallel. We should say Hallel. It's just that it's happened outside the land of Israel, so we can't. We should say Hallel, and we do, but instead of saying Hallel, we read the Megillah. And the third one says we should not say Hallel at all, because actually Purim is not a good enough miracle, or it's not a happy enough holiday for us to say Hallel when we are still servants of Ahasuerus. Okay, the Gemara goes on. I'm at the end of the first wide line. Bein l'Rava, bein l'Rav Nachman, Kasha. Both Rava's argument that we can't say Hallel because we're still the servants of Ahasuerus, and Rabbi Nachman's argument that the reading of the Megillah itself is Hallel, Kasha. Both of these have a problem. V'hatanya, mishenichnesu la'aretz, lo huchshuru kol ha'aretzot, lomar shira. Once we came into the land of Israel, you can no longer sing Hallel in a miracle that happened in any other land. So you can't really solve this problem according to both of these interpretations that we should say say Hallel. Hold on, I'm sorry.
anyway, both Rava and Rav Nachman's explanations still have the problem of the original explanation, which was Rabbi Chiya bar Avin in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, that regardless of their explanations, that they happen outside the land of Israel. So the Gemara actually explains, Kevin Shegalu, since they were exiled, and the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Chazru l'Hachsheran HaRishon. It returned to its original Hachshir. Just as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, that there was an argument about whether or not the Kedusha of Yerushalayim remained even after the temple was destroyed and Yerushalayim was despoiled. So we have a similar argument here, that the lands were permitted to say, or they were eligible to sing Shira in them before they entered the land of Israel, but not afterwards. But maybe after the Jewish people were driven out of the land of Israel and the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, maybe it goes back to its original setting, where even though it's outside the land of Israel, you can still sing Shira. We're going to stop there, second wide line, and we'll continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.